I feel like our souls were made of the same garbage.
Welcome to Burning in Hell.
Okay, what is up, you little devils? We are in the scary, dark, hot depths of hell with a spicy guest. Her name is Tracy Carnazzo. Tracy April Teresa Carnazzo.
That was perfect.
Did I get it? Okay, perfect. So I met Tracy on one of her many podcasts. She had me on Only in New York is the name, where we talk shit about being from New York. And she hosts podcasts Teen Mom Trash Talk, 90 Day Fiancé Trash Talk. Any other ones?
No, that's really it. And then I just have like secret different podcasts on my Patreon. Oh. That's for like the real deep diggers. Yeah, these are secret. There's a lot of shit talking going on. It's amazing.
Well, that's what the little devils love to hear, because we love reality TV. We love shit talking. And I love how you're in your bio, you wrote, your OCD and love for trash TV have shaped you into the person you are today.
That's exactly who I am. There's like not even anything deeper to me than that.
I've always called it.
I think that describes me perfectly.
What was your first reality TV show you remember being like, oh, hell yeah, this is my shit?
Okay, so first of all, before even reality TV, what really got me into it was Maury. Maury Povich was the person that just like, I guess, inspired me. Like, you know, when I get an award, one day I'll get an award for something. We don't know what it's for, but when I accept it.
He's your Oprah.
He is my, you know, like I base my life around Maury Povich. Maury Povich, I just remember staying home from school and watching Maury, and my favorite part of Maury was the out of control teens. And I was like, yes, this is who I am. Like, because I don't want to say I wasn't an out of control teen, because I wasn't not an out of control teen. But I just like really connected with these girls, because I couldn't believe how crazy they were when they were like 12 years old and they're like, I want a baby, I don't give a fuck. And I was like, yes, you are insane. You are insane. Like,
and
the
did
girls
it make
that
you feel saner?
Yes, that's exactly what it did. These girls used to like steal baby clothes. Do you remember these episodes? They were so good.
I felt so naughty when I'd watch it, because it was like while we were supposed to be at school.
Yes.
It was like this weird forbidden thing where it's like, I don't know who would watch it, but like,
right,
it
this
was
is like
on
adult TV. This is an adult with no job TV.
Yeah, like an adult where things are going really bad TV, and they need something to make them feel a little less shitty about themselves.
Right. That's why there's always like lawyer commercials in between it. It's always like, you know, Apex Technical School, where you can get a degree in mechanics, or, you know, what was it? J.G. Wentworth, you know, you need cash now, or, you know, what was it? Salino
Hell
and
yeah.
Barnes. You know, it's like, did you get in a car accident? And people are sitting home like, I think I might have gotten in a little bit of a car accident, but I could try harder.
It also pisses me off because, like, the Cash Me Outside girl blew the fuck up when, like, the people on Maury Povich walked so she could run.
Yes.
You know, like, there were so many good Cash Me Outside girls, but Dr. Phil was like, so what do you think's going on? And then she just said that one line. The messiest people were on Maury Povich's show.
I know. Maury was being threatened way before Dr. Phil. Oh, my God. Yeah. See, the father ones I really did like. I like the paternity test, but I love the out of control teen. So when I saw that MTV was going to be doing a show called 16 and Pregnant, I was like, I can't believe my luck. I can't wait to watch this. And I just remember me and my co-host, who, you know, she was my best friend growing up. I was like, something's happening. MTV is doing the show 16 and Pregnant. And I just remember counting down the days, and it delivered. It delivered all the way. And I was in since then.
I love those shows too, because these people didn't go on Maury to get famous.
No.
It was just to like be messy.
Yeah. They would go there to fight so that there were witnesses.
Yeah, and that's the rawest, realest shit ever. Like, nowadays, The Bachelor, there are some really real moments, but, like, everyone knows they're going there for fame. And these people literally were just like, I want to show the world that you are a fucking terrible boyfriend, and you fucked me over, and I'm going to fuck you over tonight.
And then they take their shoes off. Hannah, they take their shoes off. And you know something crazy is going on.
they'd like fight the security guards.
I mean, look at where Steve Wilkos was Jerry Springer's security guard, and he got his own talk show.
That's called, yeah, that's how you dominate an industry. I also don't even think it got the press it deserved. Like, it probably kept, like, middle America just running those shows. Like, it kept people excited to live.
And it also gave people $50 in the audience to sit in the audience. And what's better than that?
It's literally the financial stability of the United States.
Yeah. That was unemployment before unemployment.
Also, by the way, you could tell we're both from New York because I'm going to be talking in like my New York accent the whole time, and we'll be talking on top of each other the whole time. But you guys, we understand each other. We know what we're going to say.
I feel like our souls were made of the same garbage.
The one thing that people get so mad is like, oh, you always interrupt your guest. And I'll tell it again. If I wait after you talk and there's a second or two, that means I wasn't listening and I'm deciding how I should act to pretend I was listening.
Right. You're like, oh, cool. That's crazy. That's mine. That's wow. Crazy. Oh, my God. Crazy. Really? Anyway.
That's literally when like your friend is going off about something that you've heard a bazillion times and then she stops talking and you go, oh, my God, I know. Right?
She's like, really? I just told you my whole family got murdered.
That's crazy. When did you start getting into comedy? Was it before or after you started the podcast?
I started the podcast after comedy. I started doing comedy, and then the first podcast that I ever hosted was with Justin Silver and Giannis Pappas, and we did Funny for Fido, and it was a dog podcast. This is really where I broke through. This is really where I shine in the dog industry. I mean, maybe this was 4 years ago. This wasn't that long ago. I used to do podcasts. I just didn't have my own podcast. I thought you had to be smarter than me to do a podcast. And then when I really looked into it, I'm like, oh, look at all these morons with podcasts. I could do this too.
You're like, if Justin Silver can talk to dogs and do a podcast, I could do whatever I want.
Exactly. I was like, I don't know how to use GarageBand. And then Justin shows me how to use GarageBand. And then all of a sudden, every single reality TV comes to life via podcasting in my dining room. So we did that podcast. And then we did another podcast. Justin and I did our own podcast called Neurotica, which was about sex and just being crazy and OCD and anxiety. Yeah. So we did that, and then I had a breakaway because I was too deep into the Trash Talk podcasts, and Justin still does his Neurotica on his own. And
well, good
I'm
for
here
you.
With you.
That can be hard. That can be hard to start something with a friend and then like go separate ways. But reality TV is more important than anything.
Yeah, so. Sorry, but you know these teen girls are not gonna trash themselves. Sorry, buddy.
But I also, when I met you, you were just so refreshing, like straight shooter who is just so witty, so funny, but also not like thinks they're better than everyone else, you know?
No, because it's like you have to know that like we're all going to fall together. I mean, look at what we're doing right now. We are in this pandemic. Like, the world is ending. Comedy's over. We're all on the same page now.
We're all fired.
We're all fired. We're fired. Seinfeld's fired. Chris Rock is fired. Like, we're all fired the same.
Kevin Hart is fired.
Kevin Hart is fired. I mean, he's
I'm making the same amount of tour money as Kevin Hart right now.
Exactly. Well, I've always made that kind of money. So I think that it's like it's really important to know that like we're all kind of trying to figure this out, you know, and especially like in the age that we live in now where we're producing so much of our own stuff.
Yeah,
I wouldn't know how to do any of this if I didn't like really dig deep. And I feel like that's not fair. Like in comedy, I feel like everyone has a secret. No one wants to tell you who books anything. No one wants to tell you how to do anything. It's like, oh, you have that video with the caption on, how'd you do it? And they're like, oh, I don't know. You should Google it. And it's like, but what do you think? Like that you're a scientist that has a cure to a disease?
Dude, I've been doing stand-up comedy for a year. I'd been like writing comedy and like whatever bullshit, producing comedy videos, but I was finally like, I'm going to do stand-up. I literally was just asking, like, how the fuck does stand-up work? And no one would tell
no
me.
No one will tell you. No one will tell you.
I literally was like, how do you write your jokes? Like, or any, or like any, but I'm like open. I say whatever.
You should
but
be.
People
you should
were
be. Because
so
guess what?
Shasty.
Yes. There's room for everyone. And also, I feel like.
I
want to
do
no
a shout out.
Do it.
I just
want
to do a quick
out.
Shout out to shout Andrea out. Allen. Because that bitch, I was like, I kind of was just like, hey, I've been. Like booking my own shows, but like I just want to do some like small bar shows to just like get a grind that like aren't open mics but like aren't like
right you network and
clubs.
It's great.
And she literally goes, here's a document, and she sent me a document of like all the contacts. Obviously I have to reach out, I have to send my reel, or I have to open up, but like that was so awesome. And then I had her on my podcast. There's a surplus of everything, and I believe the more you give, the more you get.
That is 100%. So Andrea Allen is one of my co-hosts. We do Only in New York together. And Andrea also produces Keith and the Girl, which is where I really started podcasting. You know, they would have me on, and I always thought, like you said, like you were like, oh, you're funny and you're not annoying. And I did never thought that about myself before. and then I went on Keith and the Girl, and I was like, oh my God, people like me. This is wild. I don't know why, but here we are. And, you know, they wanted me on again. And I was like, oh, my God, why would you like, I just feel like I don't have that unique of an experience in life. And then as I start talking, I'm like, oh, I've had like 23 jobs.
Oh, yeah.
Like I've lived like 40 lifetimes. And people are like, how old are you?
Also, people are fascinated by people who are like really authentically themselves. And I feel like you can tell you're not trying to come off in a different way. And I think that the best way to like attract people is not by being what you think people want you to be, yes. but being like painfully yourself, because it comforts people.
I think that, yeah. And I think that that's a lot of stuff that I explored when I did Neurotica with Justin is like, you know, we're flawed. We're so flawed. And if we talk about those flaws, other people with the same flaws are really going to connect with us. And that's what we did.
I remember the word I forgot. Abundance. The law of abundance.
Ooh, that was good.
They say like the more you spend money, the more you make money, which, you know.
Oh, I don't know if that's true, Hannah.
There's I know, as I said it, I was like, it sounds weird. No, I had my episode with Eliza Kelly. She's like this astrologer. And she was like, there's a theory of money manifestation. It's like the more you give, the more you end up getting. Like if you're really yeah. cheap about it, you end up like having like restrictions in your mind. It's just the law of abundance of like manifest love and positivity, and like you will receive that shit. And I'm like have a weird spiritual side to me that's also, but you wouldn't ever think it, but this podcast has helped me realize that.
I think you have white girl powers. I understand.
Yeah, like I could throw out a tarot card any second and make some bullshit up. You never know.
No, so. I totally agree with you on the, like, the more you give, the more you get. Because, you know, in comedy, especially, like, if you're not going to help anyone, how do you expect people to help you? We book ourselves, like, we book each other more than any kind of anything. Like, I've gotten yep. more opportunities from my peers than I ever did from anyone else. Like, everything 100%. That I've gotten is from a recommendation. And if you're easy to work with and you're kind to people and you're always looking out, like, people eventually will look out for you. And
also,
I think that...
Yeah, you not helping one person is not going to get you ahead. Like, they're eventually... If you're not talented, you not helping other people is not going to make you successful. The only thing you control is yourself, and you being successful does not take away from my success. And I think
exactly.
it's important for people to hear that. Also, all of us can give like 20 names of people who got us where we are.
Yep.
Like I'm not yep. just me. Like I have so many people that pushed me in certain directions or inspired me or gave me like really solid advice. Even fucking Andrew Collin was the one who was like, you and Paige need to start doing Giggly Squad. And I was like, I don't know. And he's like, do it. And now like, does anyone see his name? No. But he was behind it.
Poor
does
Andrew.
Anyone care? Does anyone care about Andrew Collin? No. But do I keep
him
relevant?
No,
yes.
But he does have a good cashmere sweater collection.
He does. And he has a cute little lisp, and we send him mm-hmm. our love. So let's go. Yeah. Let's get a little darker now. I want to get into the OCD, because OCD is a Ooh. Wide spectrum. I've talked to people who have OCD on the pod before. I have OCD, but I haven't really gotten into it in the podcast that much because I think I'm so confused with what kind I have. Can you shed some light?
Sure. So what I'm suffering from mostly is, and this is before the time that we're living in now, is just a fear of germs. When I think about germs, I feel like I'm going to faint.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So here we are. All of my nightmares are true.
And we're living. You're like, I'm the only one who's been prepared for this.
I have been prepared for this. Like when this whole thing started, people were like, listen, when you go out, okay, and you go into a supermarket and then you go back outside, you should wash your hands, Purell them, or use some kind of wipe. And I'm like, yeah. Yeah, I've been doing this forever. Like, I will sit down to eat with you and like offer you a wet wipe or a Purell wipe. And people would be like, why are you giving me this?
And it's all like, those people are like, that girl Tracy was right. That girl
I just thought maybe you didn't want to be disgusting. But okay, no, I mean, eat with your hands after you touch the subway pole. That's fine.
So other people, it grosses you out when they're being germophobes. How has it like hurt or like thwarted your life by having this?
Oh,
OCD?
My God. So the main thing that I do not take public transportation. I haven't been on the train since 2012.
And you have a car, though.
I have a car and I have to make sure that I have a car because I won't get on public transportation. So that's like, you know, that's a different lifestyle for sure.
Would you do Uber?
No, I don't go in an Uber. I don't know who's been in this Uber. There's germs. That's like being in a subway car, but just smaller.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not great. You know,
how has it affected your relationships?
I don't like people in my house that I don't really trust because I don't know what's going on. Like, I used to date this guy with a kid, and I used to ask him about
his kid.
Kids
are disgusting.
Oh, my God. I used to ask him about his kid constantly. I'd be like, how does he feel? What's going on with him? And he's like, do you want to meet him? I'm like, no. I need to know if he's sick, because if he's sick, you can't come to my house. All I cared about.
Where do you think this stems from? Did you have, like, a bad illness as a kid, or did you see someone really sick as a kid?
I think that it, I mean, I've always kind of had it inside of me, you know, it's always like was waiting to like come out pretty bad, but my father was really sick. My father passed away in 2006 and he had cancer. And when he was going through chemo, it was very scary because if you give him a cold, like that's it. And
I'm
then
sorry,
like you've killed
so
your dad.
That's so sad.
So I think that really kind of when I was about 22, you know, when he was sick, that's when it was like kind of like at its height. But I've always been scared of being sick myself. So I remember even when I was little, when my brother would be sick, I would ask my mom, like, hey, can I just like go stay with like anyone else? Like, could I just not be in this house? She'd be like, you are 7. You live here. Like, you can't go.
What
on
about
vacation.
The argument that like the more you let yourself be around germs, it heightens your immune system?
How's that going with COVID? How's that doing?
It's not going well.
Right.
Because you were scared of like dying from an illness.
I don't want to listen. I'm not scared of dying. I think we all want to die. We're comics, but I don't want to suffer. You
I
don't
want
to die.
I
don't know what you're
do
doing
it.
In comedy.
I want to do it.
Right. But you also don't want to like die like slowly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't mind getting
scenarios.
Like, you know, shot by a stray bullet real quick. But okay. I don't want to die of an illness and, you know, painfully in the hospital and be on a respirator. Like, this is not my dream.
I dated a germaphobe and he like taught me like you don't press the elevator buttons. You use your knuckle or your elbow. And then he would like freak out if like I'm eating popcorn, it would hit the couch and then I would eat it. And then I would just do it more to fuck with him. And then I was like, what? You're not going to kiss me now? You're not going to kiss me? Because my thing is like, you will
and
drive yourself crazy. And then we broke up. But like, there are so many germs everywhere. You drive yourself insane. And that's why people are like losing it right now. But also, have you talked to someone to be like, you're channeling your anxiety of life into these germs? You're projecting onto these germs?
Yeah, of course. Listen, I go to therapy twice a week. I am not okay. Like, I've been in therapy for a very long time.
That's good. That's healthy, though.
Yeah, sure. It's great. Everything's fine. Everything's amazing. But yeah, no, of course. I think that the things in my life that I can't control are the things that make me so crazy. Because again, it's like I have OCD and I need to control everything. I need to live in a controlled environment. And I mean, right now we are living in the most uncontrolled environment possible.
How are you doing?
And I just, you know, at first I was not great. Now I feel a little bit better. You know, I've just been trying to be as careful as possible and just getting the facts. I don't watch the news anymore. Mm-hmm. And I really just, you know, I know the fact is that it's not airborne. It goes by droplets. You know, I wear gloves. I wear a mask. I don't touch anything. I come home. I wash everything. What am I going to do? That's all we could really do. But I mean, I used to say, like, I wish it was socially acceptable to just wear a mask every day.
Girl, be careful.
And my dreams and my nightmares are coming true at the same
time. Well, you seem like the most prepared. I like didn't, most of us. They had to teach us how to wash our hands.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, fucking idiots.
When the stores ran out of hand soap, I was like, but what were you doing before? What was happening before? Was this just like a wipe?
So besides OCD, what has made you want to go to therapy?
Oh, what do you mean? Everything else in my life is just so perfect. well, I'm just the most... I'm anxious. I'm a very, very anxious mess. I have tons of phobias. Mm-hmm. I have just like a lot of anxiety overall. I think
what are some of your phobias?
Number one phobia, vomit. Just afraid of it.
Oh my God. Okay. Yeah. Are you vomiting or other people?
Both. Everything. All of it.
Same. Honestly, same.
Yeah. I don't drink because of it. And because of many other reasons, but that's a big one.
Once I was on the subway and a guy puked on me. In a crowded subway.
Yeah, see, that's why I haven't been on the subway since 2012, because that is, I want better for you, you know? Like, I don't want you.
Dude, it got on my shoe, and I was like, well, day's ruined.
Right, but see, the thing is, like, you are okay, right? And you survived that. Like, I don't know if I would have survived that. I think that I might have been in a hospital. You were like, oh, man, day's ruined. I would have been like, 911, what's your emergency? Hi. Train, help.
I can't breathe.
Right. And then they would have been like, we have a dead body on the platform at Roosevelt Island.
I mean, I had absurd phobias that I like created in my head. I was a tennis player. I talk about it. People get upset that I bring up tennis, but I do. I would get a phobia that I would be playing Division I tennis and that I just wouldn't be able to hit a second serve. What's the worst possible scenario is that I can't hit a second serve and then I literally would go on the court and couldn't do it because I like scared myself into it. Yeah. And I would do that all the time. And I thought I was just a mental case, but I realized it was just anxiety that I wasn't properly handling and it was coming out like physically and fucked me up.
I always knew that we bonded because I, in high school, pretended that I was on the tennis team. So I knew the tennis coach because my friend was on the tennis team. My friend Jessica was on the tennis team.
Which high school?
I went to Forest Hills High School. That's where I graduated. Well, I went to a few high schools, but that's where I graduated from.
I was always playing at the National Tennis Center.
See, I live right by the West Side Tennis Stadium. You know where that is, right?
Oh, nice. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So I grew up watching tennis, never playing it. So I pretended that I was on the tennis team because my friend Jessica was in my English class and she would get out early for tennis practice. And the coach would come over and wave through the door and then she would be allowed out. So I was like, fuck you, you get out early. I'm going to be, quote unquote, on the tennis team. So I used to tell my teachers that I was on the tennis team and I would leave classes early. And I would always be really friendly with the tennis coach. So he would wave to me in the hallway. And obviously it's like, I'm not on the tennis team.
See, that is street smart. That's what school should be about. But you said that you were like kind of a bad kid. In what ways were you a bad kid? Especially
there
if you're
a
like
bit
scared
of
everything.
Oh. Yeah, there was a little bit of fighting, yeah.
Oh, so you had some
I wasn't
anger.
Scared of that.
Yeah, you're like, I'll bust a girl's head open, but don't you dare spit on me or I'll fucking freak out.
Right, like I'll wash my hands after I punch you in the face. But
dude, you're such a tough chick. I love this. I want to punch someone in the face so bad.
Do
but
it.
There are legalities when you're older.
You know what? There are, but you know what? You gotta punch someone who's not going to tell.
Yeah, this is what I love about like the subway is when everyone just use. This is the positive thing about subway. You just hold everything in until you're on the subway and from someone nudges you the wrong way and you go,
and you
what
just
the
whole
fuck
car.
Is your problem? And you yep. shove them back and everyone's like, just a little flare up, normal flare up. Or like when
and
a
then
car
like
15 goes,
people fall down.
Or when a car goes like a tiny bit into the crosswalk, I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And everyone around
me
is like,
do you ever
like, yeah.
hit the car with your hand, like slap it 100%. And then start screaming at them? Yeah, that's
yeah.
this is.
I mean, I never like I don't really. Yeah, no, I do that. But I'm more like I'm quick with it. Like I won't make a long scene, but like I'll snap for a second and then get back. But that's a classic.
I don't really have road rage per se, but yeah. I have been so annoyed by someone and I've cut them off and like blocked them off so they couldn't get down the block and then like gotten out of my car and screamed at them.
Passive aggressive and scary is a great combination. When was the last time you punched someone in the face?
Oh God, it's been so long. It's been too long.
Okay, yeah. I'm glad I reminded you. You're like, I was missing something from my life.
God, I knew that I had to do something.
Put on your gloves and go punch someone.
During the quarantine, do something that you've always wanted to. And it's like, yeah, maybe I need to. With gloves on, of course, with gloves on. Maybe boxing gloves. I don't know.
How have you been able to calm your anger down from clearly having a little bit of a short fuse as a kid?
Wait, what do you mean? I was fine. No, I try to think about jail. I try to think about how dirty jail is. That's the only thing that ever. I mean, I got arrested one time. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't the worst experience, to be totally honest with you. It wasn't the worst.
You're like, I made some longtime friends. We talk shop.
Yeah, like I made friends with the cops. They were cool. Like, you know, I was there all day, but it was worth, I gotta tell you, it was worth it. It was worth every single thing that I did. And I wouldn't change it for the world. And really nothing happened to me. Because you have to have like a record. You can't just punch someone in the face and then like go to prison.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you're kind of okay. But yeah, I think about jail. I think about like I'm gluten free now. Okay. And, you know, if I went to jail, like, what are the options? You know, it's like bologna sandwich. No, can't do that. I don't eat processed meats, number one. Mm-hmm. Can't even eat the white bread. I'd be sick. Mm-hmm. Then cornflakes. They give you dry corn. Like, cornflakes, you think they're gluten-free because they're corn. And then I found out from another comic, Riley Lassen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She has celiac disease. And I was like, I don't know why I keep getting sick. You know, I'm eating these cornflakes. She's like, yeah, honey, they have, like, this malt in them that has gluten in it. And I'm like,
no one can be trusted. No one can be trusted.
This is what I mean. So like, do I want to be sick in jail? Like, I wouldn't even be able to have a meal.
No,
I don't want to be in prison like that. Like, you know, you think that it's dirty, you know, in New York City. Like, imagine showering in prison.
Dude, the jails right now. I can't think about it.
This is terrifying.
What is something that you like? What's your way of sabotaging yourself in your life?
Oh, just being wild. I don't know if you've ever seen, I like to spiral out of control on Instagram.
Oh, I haven't seen. Is this like an Instagram?
Oh yeah,
you
could actually trace the breakdowns. It's really fun. People love it. They're like, ooh, you're starting.
What kind of stuff do you go off about?
Just like relationship stuff, you know, so I'll post like one meme, right? Mm-hmm. And then it's like, you know, it's like kind of funny and you're like, maybe she means something by this, but maybe it's just like silly and she reposted it.
And most people then, like, stop there. Most people put like a little sub tweet and they're like, okay.
No.
That's just you warming up. That's you stretching.
It's warming up. I'm just testing the waters, seeing, do you guys like this? You guys like it? Okay, watch this. And then all of a sudden, I have 3,000 saved poetry quotes / funny memes, and I just fire them out. It's usually around 3-4 in the morning. And you wake up to, like, I don't know, maybe 200-300 DMs of, like, hey, girl, you got this.
I will go off on tweets at like 1 a.m. But just because, like, I'm, you know, when you feel a spur of creativity and they're just funny ones. Occasionally they're like about being depressed or whatever. And
yeah, obviously.
But like they're just like 15, 20. And I get messages going, hey, just checking in. Are you OK? And I was like,
yes.
Bitch, I'm being
funny.
That's
how you know it's good. That's how you know it's good.
That's how you know it's good when the people start to worry. It's
when people start calling your parents.
then you know you're a comedian. I feel like you love the control, but then it sounds like because you're so controlled all the time, when you stop being controlled, is you spiral. So
oh,
it's like
a lot.
It's these two like. Not, I don't want to use the word bipolar, but it's these
yeah,
two
no,
extremes.
Yeah, no, but it's like, it's totally, yeah, I mean, it depends on like what side of me that you get. It's almost like I'm a Scorpio, but I'm not.
My moon is in Scorpio.
Ooh, I don't know where my moon is.
No, I think my Scorpio is rising, whatever. I have a Scorpio. That's what I was trying to tell you. I am the worst white girl ever. Like, yeah, I was such a fucking wannabe.
I'm never going to trust your tarot card reading.
I used to do these horoscopes on Instagram where I'd read a real one and then like try to understand it, but then say it in like a ratchet way. Like the moon's in Uranus.
You should
like,
write your own horoscopes.
Yeah. Like if you do anal, like you're going to shit yourself tonight. So don't.
Well,
do
that
it.
Is that's just a fact of life.
Yeah. I just want to do more relatable shit that people care about in horoscopes. Not
Are you into
anal?
Bullshit.
I tried it once in.
Yeah.
Like so stupid in the shower. With a guy where it's like right, shower yeah. sex isn't good at all. And like, we didn't even try lube. And I just remember being like, this is, we like, it barely happened.
Oh, you thought water was the lube? Is that what happened?
Girl, I'm a dumbass. I was like 20 and was
yeah,
just like,
that's where it, yeah.
And like, I didn't have
a 20
because also like when you're in a sexual mode, you're not like, let's Google how to have anal. No, you're right. Like, put it in. How did the cavemen right. do it?
Right now, it's like at least you would make like a Facebook status and be like, hey, guys, thinking about anal, any tips?
Yeah, I would do like an AMA on Instagram and be like, what is your right. experience been with anal? What should I look out for? I would go on right. Reddit. I would go to LinkedIn, I would go talk to a psychic to see how it would go.
Right. You would look for an anal therapist.
Yeah.
On LinkedIn and be like, can I make an appointment?
100%. I don't mind a little like licking outside the butthole.
Right.
Don't love insertion yet, but then again, I haven't been with a guy who like knows what he's doing with it.
I feel like you either have the butthole that likes stuff in it or you don't. Like, I just think that you're born with that butthole.
I love that because, well, also like it's not like every gay guy has anal. They either give
no,
it or get
no,
it.
No, a lot of them don't catch at all.
Yeah. So I love that you said that. And I think that's a bigger metaphor for life in general.
Yeah.
Not everyone's meant to do certain things. Find what brings you joy.
That's right. Because I mean, I've had friends that are like, no, you just have to try it. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like, I don't want anything in my butt.
I'm like, really good at pooping.
I'm happy that it brings you joy.
I like it coming out, not going in.
Right. Like, I just don't want to.
There's nothing better than like a good morning poop. And then you just feel like a skinny bitch until you take a bite the next day. I mean, the next moment, like the second I take a bite of something, I'm bloated. But like a good poop is enough like action for my asshole.
Yeah. I mean, like I could literally just feel like in the morning like that. Like I'm like, am I too thin? is that what just happened? Like, should I buy new clothes?
Since I've been on TikTok, this one girl I've had spending way too much time on TikTok, but she had a really funny thing, like how to be keep skinny during quarantine. It's like, make yourself this coffee, you put this creamer in it, and then it's like, and then shit yourself, and that's it.
Yeah.
And honestly, that is your prime.
It's not it's not a bad way. So when I was one of my many jobs, mm-hmm. when I was like 14, I worked in maybe 15. I worked in a bakery and I was like, oh, I'm going to gain so much weight.
Yeah.
But guess what? I didn't, because we drank iced coffee all day long because that was available to us for free.
Uh-huh.
I
so
drank so much.
Cokeheads. You were just like,
okay, basically, this was my experience with cocaine. Like, that's the closest thing I'll ever get to being like hardcore into coke. I lost like 25 pounds. That was like my hot girl summer. Let me tell you something. If you saw me at 15, I peaked at 15. I peaked at like 16.
Were
I
you
peaked
like
15, 16.
Were you getting a lot of dudes? Were you like,
oh yeah, I was reeling it in. Yeah,
I love that for you. I love how I'm such a dude. I'm like, were you getting dick? Like, were you dicking?
Oh yeah,
I was
I think that I peaked at 16 officially, mm-hmm. and then around like 24 I like mm-hmm. settled down. I wasn't cheating on him. Like, I wasn't out there anymore. And then I was like, oh, I guess this is it. We're probably going to get engaged and we're probably going to have kids and got to buy a house and all this stuff. And then he left me, I know you're going to be shocked, for his secretary.
Was he a doctor?
Yeah. No, he was. You think I worked in a doctor's office?
No, he left you for a secretary.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. He was my boss first. That's how I met him.
Okay, so there's a little Actually, I'm doing this new segment called Hot Takes with Hannah where people ask for advice, and this girl said she has a crush on her 60-year-old boss. She's like 24. What was that power dynamic like? Like, was it hot?
Okay, to be honest with you, when we worked together, he was not nice to me at all. He was not friendly to me. He was not nice to me.
So I'm into it. I'm into it.
I wasn't his direct report, but he was like above me. I was one of the assistants.
Was he older?
And, he a little bit older. He was 7 years older. It wasn't like a crazy disgusting.
And what
age
was
difference.
The job?
Oh, I worked at Billboard magazine. I worked in advertising.
So he left you for the secretary. Did you have any warning or hint?
No, we were working together, and then I got laid off. The company got bought over, and I got laid off while he was on vacation. And then he reached out to me and was like, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, I had no clue that they were doing all these cuts while I was away." He's like, "We should hang out." And I was like, "Well, you weren't even really nice to me when we hung, like when we worked together. Like, you weren't even like, it's not like we were work friends."
Yeah.
But then I was like, "Yeah, of course I'll go out with you." And then we started dating, and then we were together for like 3 years. And then all of a sudden, you know, things were a little bit weird. And this is like, you know, a while ago. So this was before like you could really deep, like dive into social media. This was just like all I had was his Facebook wall. And all of a sudden it was like
men could be so shiesty back then.
Yes. Oh, they really got away with so much more.
Now like, they can't get away with liking anything. We're like, who's that? Who's that?
There was like barely text messaging at this time.
Oh my God, it's so impossible. I know. Something about this. Is he still with the secretary?
No. So I called the secretary. So apparently he told the secretary when he left me for her. He called me every single night. I thought we were still together. He was cheating on me. And so when I found out, when he actually like left me for her, I called her and I told her, I was like, "Listen, you know, he was cheating on me with you. I'm just letting you know, like, we were still together." And she's like, "Oh, he told me that like you guys were real good friends." And I'm like, "Oh yeah, we were real good friends. We were real good friends. That, we lived together."
That fucks up your trust.
Yes. So then I was like, "Listen, you do whatever you want. Like, I don't know you. You're a stranger." And then a few weeks later, she broke up with him. So that was pretty fun.
Well, I kind of like how that sounds like a mature thing that you did. Like, you weren't calling her being like, great. You just were like, what the fuck happened?
No, I mean, because I didn't want him back at that point. Who wants him back?
I know, but you could have like punched her or something.
Listen, it's only about, and I'm not always this mature. It's not it's not about the other girl unless she knows about you. There's been other women that I've suspected something was going on, and I let them know about me. People that I knew. Like mutual friends of ours. And then they still ignored what I had to say. And then now I have to punch you in the face.
I get that. There are rules to these things. There are boundaries.
Right.
Going back to psychics, if you went to a psychic, what would you want to know about your future?
I've been to a psychic. And the unfortunate part, I went to Raymond. Do you know Raymond? He was in the city.
No.
He was in the West Village. He was like the psychic to the stars. And he's dead now, so I don't know. But I remember going to him and he was like, "You're pregnant." And I was like, I'm not. He's like, "You're pregnant. I know it." I was like, "Okay, well, I don't even know how that would happen right now. I am 100% not pregnant." And then he asked to see like pictures of like friends and family. And like he was totally so off on everything. And then I went, he was like supposed to be a medium and he didn't even know my dad was dead. And I was like, "All right, you know what? How good are you?"
Wow.
So I don't know. Like,
were you
I
being
believe-
upfront or were you nodding when he was talking? Like, I feel like I'd be too much of a pussy to be like, "You're wrong." I would just be like, "Oh, yeah." Yeah.
No, I just listened. I just listened because I'm not going to correct you because then you're going to like go on another path.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You didn't want to.
So I was like,
him.
"No, let me see what he has to say." And he was a fortune, too. So, I mean, I want to believe, though. I really want to believe. if I can go to someone like legit, like in this, what would I want to know? I don't know. Maybe
like, do you
just
care
like,
more
where,
about like, yeah. Oh,
like,
go.
Should I quit comedy now or should I wait?
Oh my
until
God. Do you know
completely
what's so
destroys
weird?
Me.
Okay. I hate to say this, but like every comedian I've talked to has said they don't miss comedy stand up. And then I think I would not be surprised if after the quarantine, no one goes back.
Well, you know what? There's definitely going to be less people for sure. I mean, remember, a lot of people have gone back to where they came from. No offense. That's not a racist comment. but they have. Saying? They've gone back to, like, you know, Ohio is like getting all of these New Yorkers all of a sudden. They're like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah. They're like, why are these dirty people coming to our clean,
Ohio's about
safe
to close
places.
Their borders. But yeah, no, a lot of people are giving up their apartments. They're not going to be able to afford to come back. And I don't know.
I'm just
I don't
saying,
know what's going to happen.
Stand-up comedy is emotionally abusive. I personally thrive off emotional abuse, but I can totally see why people, you always have to do it because someone else is getting stage time. But now that we all don't have stage time for the first time, we don't have FOMO and we're like, oh, it's actually kind of nice. And it kind of sucks.
Yes.
But like people are basically having to face reality with like how they truly feel about things and not just like abusing themselves. Like, do you actually like comedy or you just hate yourself or a little bit of both, which is common?
I think both for me. I definitely hate myself like all the way. But at the same time, I think that I'm not going as crazy as other comics because I do enjoy staying home.
And your podcasts are like such a big part.
I've been working every single day. Like I cannot, I mean, I'm not even saying I'm making money, but I'm not, people are like, oh, I've organized all my closets. And I'm like, oh my God, how do you even have time? Like I'm trying to fit in time for things.
Also, I've been getting hit up so much for people to come on my podcast from like anywhere. Cause they're like, you do it virtual now. And I'm like, calm it down.
Oh, isn't that the worst?
And like, I'm so bad at saying no to people, but like, I'm very particular about people on my pod. And
you should be,
and right, but like it's hard to say, it's so hard to say no to people, but like my little devils, they love everyone I bring on for a reason. It's because I have like actual chemistry with them. Also, what's your dating life like right now?
I have a boyfriend for almost 4 years.
Good for you.
Sure.
How'd you like trap him?
Meatballs. I made a lot of meatball. I to be totally honest.
I want to date you. I want to date you. Are you
I will
cook.
Listen, after this quarantine, he's out. You're in. I cook a lot. I cook. I clean. I have nice bed linens. I mean, you know, it is what
actually,
it is.
Actually, no. I just want to be adopted. I'll be adopted by you.
That's fine. I could be your mom.
What is your biggest insecurity in general? Like physical, emotional. What is your biggest insecurity that you fucking hate about yourself?
I feel like I'm not very feminine. I feel like everything about me. Yeah, I just feel like everything about me. And I think, I mean, obviously, like my weight bothers me, but I feel like that also adds to the fact that, like, that's another reason why I don't feel very feminine.
When did you realize you didn't feel feminine?
Probably like college, because I feel like I did feel feminine in high school. Mm-hmm. And then, like, after that, I was like, I don't know. Like, maybe because I never developed. I think that's.
Like you didn't get boobs?
Yeah, like I never got boobs. I remember when I was little and I'd be like, when am I going to get these Hooters? Like, when is this going to happen?
People would tell me like, you know, you have good boobs if you could put a pencil under your boob. But that's when you're a woman. And it like never happened for me. And then I realized like, no, like that doesn't mean you're not a woman.
Yeah. Also, like I mean, where would the pencil go for me? Like there's no there's nothing to put it under.
I love that you said that because on Summer House, which I highly recommend you start binging.
Yes,
you
of
start,
course.
You could start season 3. Season 1, 2 are good too, but I come at season 3. Hi. This girl who has like fake tits and fake lips and platinum hair told me that I wasn't feminine enough and would like make fun of me. And like it really made me reflect on like society. Clearly she think like society makes you think that you have to sit in this box of like what being a feminine woman
right
is.
You have to look like Pamela Anderson.
Exactly. You have to be stick to who you are and like don't change your level of femininity to attract it. That's why I always had trouble with boob jobs. Like don't get tits to make guys want to fuck you.
Yeah, like that's why I would get them, to be totally honest with you. I've thought about it before. I mean, total transparency. That is the only reason
I
would get them.
It makes you look like overweight if you have.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing. So I was like, all right, I have to lose like 60 pounds and then I would like to get my boobs done.
If you get your boobs did and you gain weight, you look like you've gained 100 pounds. I've seen it happen.
Oh, no, I know. And it's not always flat. Like I've seen a lot of girls with very small boobs and get their boobs done. And I'm like, But you had nice small boobs.
Also, do you know like how many guys love small tits?
Yeah, like they were good boobs though. Like I would only do it if you have bad boobs. Yeah. I feel like I have bad boobs. So I think that what I'm saying is my tits are trash. That's what's happening. I would like to lose 60 pounds and I would like to get my boobs done. No, I have a lot of goals. These are really good goals. This is what I've been researching. Like, I think I need to invent the technology for this, though. I don't want an implant because I'm scared of the implant, because I've heard so many horror stories about like bodies rejecting implants and infections, and, like all this stuff. And I've seen like people that I know have gone through horror stories.
Yeah, one of my friends popped her boob once.
Yes, all of this stuff is scary to me because then that's another surgery. First of all, I want this done in my house. I don't want to go to the hospital because I'm afraid of germs. Okay, so it's in my house, number one. Number two, you're going to be using my belly fat to make my boobs.
Well, that's what everyone is doing in LA. They're like, take my belly fat, put it in my butt. Yeah, you're so right.
Right, but then it's like, do you know how painful that is that you can't sit down? Dude, like, you can't sit down after you get a Brazilian butt lift.
I have a theory that girls in Hollywood are removing their bottom rib. That's why I think all their bodies
like Marilyn
are,
Manson?
Yeah.
So they could suck their own dick.
Yeah. So, like, literally, that's, like, all I know about Marilyn Manson. But I do think, like, when you see these weird body types where they literally have size 14 waists and these huge fucking asses, I really think they're removing ribs, and it's really fucked up, and we need to stop it.
Well, you know what a lot of them are doing? It's called, it's this thing called, what's it called again? Photoshop.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I'm so stupid. I'm like a dude. I'm like, how?
I love looking at, first of all, I will never knock an Instagram model because I wish I could do it. Like, I would do it all day long. Like,
they are graphic designers. They are graphic designers. I have friends who are so fucking good at it.
Don't you love when you see a big, big butt with a tiny little waist and they're standing in front of like a
gate?
Yeah, a gate. And then you see all the bars on the gate are also bent and you're like, oh, you should have asked one person to look at this picture before you post, right? All these girls need to have one friend.
Yeah. Or they just have
shitty
friends.
And you're like, hey, how's this look? And they're like, no. You got to take the fence out.
And I guess I have anger towards it because I'm like, do you know how many people looked at that and felt bad about themselves because you're a fake ass bitch?
Yeah.
It makes me angry that it causes other people pain because you can't realistically accept yourself and you have
to
like.
Because
lie
here
to
I am going, I need to remove my ribs, I think.
I
Can
think
they
rib
do this
surgery.
In my house?
I do think that it's important to get in touch with your feminine energy, where feminine energy is not necessarily like being girly, but it's more like, and it's not even like being a caretaker, which it sounds like you have amazing caretaking energy, but it's like, I don't know. What do you think feminine energy means?
I think that what like I've always thought feminine energy means, like, I guess just like that's instilled in me that I grew up with, is like, you know, you're dainty, you're girly, you keep your mouth shut and like all this stuff. And now I'm not, to me, I think somewhere, even though I know better and I am a feminist and I am modern and I am, you know, like pretty well read on these things, but I feel like, you know, the things that are like that you grew up with, like these values, that's like attractive to a man. And I feel like I'm too much. Like I've always felt like that. I've always felt like even
you
when I was
cook
younger,
and you clean.
I do. Like, but I feel like that's such like an aggressive feminine energy. Like that's the aggressive, you know, like even when I do it, it's like very aggressive.
Literally, I'm trying to make you feel better. I am not a caretaker. I'm emotionally a caretaker, but like, I'm not about to like figure your shit out. I don't cook. I don't clean. I'm trying to find a man who cooks, cleans. And I think it's because my parents. My mom is very successful, and if you look at the dynamic, my dad's very strong, tough, sporty. My mom is like beautiful and giggles and like adorable. But this bitch does not need him for a second. She runs the household.
Well, yeah, that I like.
She has a boy. He's literally a boy toy who makes her laugh. She doesn't need him for money. She doesn't need him for a home. He's just there to like make her laugh, and they love each other's company. So I'm literally doing my thing and just trying to find a boy toy that like. I can have a conversation
right, because
with my whole life.
The gender roles were a little bit switched in your house growing up. I truly believe, and now I just want you to know, I take none of my own advice. So don't think that like I'm better. I am not better than anyone. I just read more self-help books than you do. That's it. Like I will take literally none of my own advice. So I read a lot of things that you post and I'm like, yes, like I'll always, right now I'm shadow banned on Instagram so I can't like anything because God hates me.
Because you spiraled.
I was a bad, bad girl. And apparently there were too many actions taken at in like 5 minutes. And they were like, you're a robot. So just know that when you post something, I am hearting it in my heart.
Oh, my God. Thank you.
But not physically.
Thank you.
But I watch what you post. And it's like, as far as like the dating stuff, if you have one, if you do nothing else, right? Mm-hmm. Once you see a red flag, if you shut guys down as soon as you see a red flag, you'll be fine.
Yeah. I don't
That's
take
it.
My
That's
own
like
advice,
the only
though.
Rule. What?
I don't take my own advice.
Right. But,
I
but
just
if you
posted
did
a
that,
video.
Like.
You're so right. I just posted a video, though, that was like, it's the song, like, I could fall in love with you. And it's going like guys who like are emotionally unavailable, don't have a job.
Yeah.
Got arrested before, but are 6'4". Like, I could convince myself that you're the one. If
I've
you're hot
done
enough.
It a lot.
Like, I've it's so it. Easy to ignore red flags when you want attention. But I think what I've been
that
doing
was,
is...
That was so perfect.
But what I've been doing is now is I realize I can't not want the attention. But what I do is I say, he's not boyfriend material. Fuck around with him for 6 months and have a huge emotional wall up.
No, I mean, that's a good way to lose weight because you're going to hate yourself so much that you are going to stop eating. Like,
dude,
that is
my
what...
ex, I was so skinny because I was being so emotionally abused. Oh, my God. I couldn't eat. And like, it was fun in the beginning. And then I started to get worried. Cause I
about
was,
yourself?
Yeah.
You're like, but no one's calling my family. Like, that's how I'll lose like 17 pounds. And then I'm like, why has no one called anyone? Why is no one worried about me?
Why is no one saying that I have an eating disorder?
Hello?
I'm like
calling my friends. I'm like, I have an eating disorder. And they're like, yeah, okay, guy, bye.
I'm like, I'm malnourished. And they're like,
you seem fine.
Up.
You look
You're
fine.
Fine.
You look
You're
great.
Fine. I want to wrap up with a final game. You're amazing. I'm obsessed with you. Called The you. Seven Deadly Sins.
Seven Deadly Sins.
Ooh.
Are you ready?
I'm scared, but yes.
What are you greedy about?
I always want to get paid more. Yeah, cash. I think straight up cash. Yeah.
What advice do you have to people for like asking for money? Because it's my literal biggest fear.
Ask for it. They could always just say no. I was a big negotiator when I worked in media. I was a big negotiator of salaries.
I
would
that.
Go so high. I got paid so much money at jobs that I did not deserve to get paid. I mean, I went into one media job where I was probably the most junior on the team and I made the most money. And when they found out, like the other, I don't know how they found out, but I guess someone in HR leaked my salary to the rest of the team. I thought there was going to be a riot. I thought they were going to like,
that makes
stone
me so
me.
Happy for you. Were there guys on the team?
Yeah, it was mostly guys and they were so pissed off. But guess who negotiated her salary? Guess who talked her way into everyone thinking that I was better than I was? Like, I will, you know, I'll talk my way into it. And that's what it is. It's like you have to act as if.
But that's why, like, you're good at stand up, because it's like you have to convince the crowd to fucking like you and like be on your side with shit and understand you. And that's just social like awareness. I also saw something interesting. You know Cameo?
Of course, I'm on Cameo.
Hell yeah. I booked Tracy on Cameo, you guys. But I'm on it with like the Summer House cast. And like, you know, you're looking at like how much each person is. And like me and Paige, we came in at the same time. We have like similar following. We always like kind of stayed like around this. I'm like, oh, what's Paige doing? I'll do what Paige does.
Right.
And I looked and two guys who have been on the longest but have like fewer followers than us have like are like $30 more.
Okay, but do you see what I'm saying though?
Yeah, like we're not asking for it.
The market will always set the price, okay? So you need to aim the highest that you possibly could. And then if the market is not there, you can lower it. But always aim high. Like if you're going for a job, like, you know, like a regular, like 9 to 5, kind of like when I would go to a media job, I would be like, I will not take less than 100 grand. Like that's just how it goes.
Yeah.
And I mean, listen, what was I worth? Maybe 50. But guess what? You'd get 80.
Well, it sounds like you weren't also that emotionally invested with your ego because you were like, I'm a piece of shit. Let's see how much money I can get. But if you like really think you're worth a certain amount, you get all emotional with it.
Listen,
you get
we're
scared.
Not worth anything.
Yeah, like, yeah, we're every garbage. Dude, no one knows shit. is what I like. No, literally no one knows shit. There have been studies that said like doctors who just start off are sometimes better than doctors who've been doing it for 20 years because they care more and they're more refreshed on everything they need to know. They're more, but those doctors are getting paid way more. Like, experience doesn't mean shit. It's whoever like can sell themselves. Life is just selling yourself to people. So it's also annoying because so is like the beginning of dating. It's like you just have to fucking believe in yourself.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. If you're like taking red flags and just throwing them away, it will actually increase your value.
Yeah, because if you just accept the red flags, then they keep pushing, they keep walking
all
over
and then
you.
They're going to be like, oh, this girl has dated 12 losers before me. She's not worth that much. I've never had a guy not try to come back. Never. Not one time.
Yeah. Because once you know your worth, then they see it.
You know, like when you're with someone and like something terrible happens and you're like, oh, we are never talking again. Like, that was bad. Like, wow. And now he's in jail. No. Anyway, so.
With me.
always call back. They always try to call
back. I am very good at breakups and that, like, it takes me a lot to want to break up with you. But once I decide it, and it could be triggered by anything, like you ordering something stupid at a restaurant or you like saying something stupid over a text message. Once it hits that point, we're done. You're never hearing from me again. I don't know if it's a pride thing or whatever, but it's like, we're done.
No, that's good.
So I think that is good, but I'm just guilty of in the beginning, like seeing red flags and being like, but I want a crush.
Right. You're decorating your apartment with red flags.
100%. It's my favorite color. No. But like we're getting, at least I'm self-aware now, where before I was like, no, he's perfect. Now I'm like, Hannah, you know, he's not perfect, but you could have your little crush, but I know what you're doing.
Right. But you're wasting your months with someone that you know you don't want to be with. While you could be meeting someone that's amazing.
100%. I do say to my friends who are like, should I break up with him? I'm like, literally every second you're with him is a second that you're like, once a door closes, doors will open. And please just believe that.
Everywhere. And it doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter who you are. As long as you're a female, this is what happens.
Hell yes. Move the fuck on. Who are you envious of?
Probably like Joel McHale.
Oh,
is that very specific?
That was specific. Is he the one who did the Tiger King documentary?
Yeah, he did the Tiger King. I've been obsessed with him for years.
The soup.
My dream job is talk soup. Like, that is my dream
job.
They
just gave it to some comedy girl.
I know. Jade Cataprada.
Yeah.
I know. God bless her. I guess I'm jealous of her. That any kind of, like, I want a show, like, you know, obviously everyone wants a show, right? This is the point. But like,
I love Chelsea Handler.
I was just gonna say Chelsea Handler's show was so groundbreaking. I've been lucky enough to work with so many comics that were on her writing team, and like, just everything about Chelsea's show was just like, this is how I want my life to
be. It's funny, I don't even remember a joke that was said, but I remember her energy with the other comics and seeing a woman,
it was just so amazing,
treat these people like shit sometimes.
I loved
it. And it was such a thin line of like hilarious and bitchy that I was like, this is what I want to do.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I know that she was very hard, you know, to work with sometimes, and you know, I am hard to work with sometimes.
Well,
too.
That's if the thing when you're deal with. I mean, we've heard like Ellen DeGeneres like monster stories, but like at some point, first of all, what male host is that easy to work with ever?
Sure,
no one's going around being like, oh, he's the sweetest. And then Chelsea, like, you have to set boundaries. And like, the second a woman isn't caring or like caretaking or like going over the moon for people, they're like, she's tough to work with. She was probably no, but like, I've met her before. I actually played tennis with her accidentally. And like,
that's so funny.
And she was the sweetest, kindest, funniest person. So it's like, I don't know, in your work life, get shit done. Whatever she was doing was working because y'all were getting paid.
For sure. For sure. Her brother, Roy, is like one of my very closest friends. And
how'd you meet him?
Roy, I just met through comedy, and you know, he would come stay with me when he was in New York. He's actually back. He was on some kind of island in a country that I can't pronounce.
Yeah.
Cause he's a chef. I don't know if you remember his segments on the show.
Yes.
He used to do the cooking segments. Yeah. So I've met a lot of people through him and through the show and stuff. And I mean, they all still, you know, that's how many people have gotten their start from being on Chelsea.
Oh my God.
I've opened for Chris Frangiola, who is hilarious.
I met Chris Frangiola in Montauk once hammered. And I went up to him and I go, I love Chelsea Handler's show. And he was like, let's talk about it. And this is before I even was
so
close
funny.
To comedy.
When
I was,
were, He's in Montauk a lot. His family has a house over there.
Oh, it's and actually, yeah. Chelsea was dating Andre Bellage, the guy who said I was in Shelter Island teaching tennis lessons, and she just showed up at a lesson because her friend was getting lessons for me. It was fucking wild, and I had to pretend I didn't read all their books, but like it was good.
Of course, that, but this is what I'm saying. Like this, these are the people that like
Joe Coy, Fortune Feimster.
I love Fortune's special was amazing. Did you watch it?
I watched the beginning of it. I love her. I love her to death. Who else was on it?
Heather McDonald.
Heather McDonald, Whitney Cummings.
Yep. Natasha Leggero.
Yep.
Josh Wolf.
Yep.
Brad Wallach.
Yep. What's Brad up to? I haven't seen him in a minute.
He actually was a producer on Lights Out with David Spade.
Cool. Very cool.
And it was fun to see Lights Out with David Spade come back, even though I think they got canceled, but it was a lot of the old Chelsea crew. Because the writers were Chelsea's writers, and I was like, yes, my people are back.
Chelsea's gone on a different journey now, but like,
for sure.
she's still affecting and changing cultures and doing fucking shit up the way she knows how in a positive way. What are you gluttonous about?
I would say fine home furnishings.
Wait, okay, this is interesting because you are so domesticated in a way. Where do you shop and how do I make my apartment look good?
Oh my God, I can't wait until quarantine is over so I could design your entire apartment. I used to do like freelance apartment design, and I used to specialize in small spaces.
Well, I have a studio in Queens. We'll
talk. Let me tell you something. I had a studio apartment for so long. It was my favorite place in the world. It was 350 square feet.
Oh my God. It was
one room besides the bathroom.
Oh my God.
Like I was sitting in bed, meatballs were cooking on the stove. Like we were in the same room. Everything was fine. And I really like literally designed it to be like my favorite place in the world. I like to do a good bargain shop.
Yeah.
I hate spending too much money on something, but then there are certain things that you want to spend enough money. Like I'm really big into solid wood furniture.
Yes.
I'm really big into pieces that you will keep forever. IKEA has like a few things that are not the worst, but like I'm not into, if you're spending $200 on a dresser that's going to last you 2 years, you have to spend another $200. Like it adds up. And then it's like you could have just bought an $800 dresser and you could have had it for the rest of your life.
Where would you get it?
I like to look on Craigslist. I like to look on Facebook Marketplace. I love a good secondhand solid. You can't find a ton of solid wood furniture these days in these big box stores.
Yeah.
Everything is like put together. Even like, you know, Bob's Furniture, like it's not solid wood. Nothing's solid wood anymore.
No.
I love a good thrift piece. I love going to Housing Works and finding something.
Yeah, I love like curating a bunch of different experiences and like niche things. Like I love when people have yard sales or when they have vintage shit.
I like refinishing furniture. I like mixing metals. I like having, you know, I have gold, I have copper, I have silver. I like doing all of that. I don't like to follow the rules per se.
I love that. And it's true. I didn't realize, like, I used to just live in an apartment. It was like a hospital room. I was like, I'm not going to live here forever. But curating your space, and I'm like a cat. Like, I don't want to live in a mansion one day. Like, I don't need extra space, gives me anxiety. Like, I want just like my coziness of a home.
Yes.
So that's like mature of you to like be in touch with your home space.
Yeah, my home space is my place. Like my, it's so funny because, you know, you know Tim Dillon, right?
Yes.
So Tim always used to say like, you know, he used to ask me what my dreams were. And I'd be like, my dream is that I marry a retired garbage man with grown children so I don't have to raise his children, and you know, we could live off of his pension, and we have like a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom with a small yard with a pool that's above ground. He's like, even your wildest fantasies are like mediocre.
Well, Tim knows like the best of the best. He knows
quality.
I mean
we used to go to the Hamptons together many weekends.
You guys
together.
Need to come to the Hamptons for Summer House, one of our parties.
Oh my God, that I think I would be very terrified of.
I mean, it's dirty.
You'd
get there's contract dirty, syphilis drinking. Immediately. Just walking
I would be
in.
Very nervous.
The hot tub is where I thrive, and it is so dirty, but it's mostly my dirt. So I'm kind of like,
so
welcome.
You are the dirt.
I
would come like maybe like 8 or 9 in the morning to help set up. And then like as people started coming, I'd be like, okay, bye.
Yeah, then you dip out.
Right. When was, like, well, that was a fun experience.
When was the last time you experienced extreme wrath or anger?
I mean, how do I choose?
Do you remember when you were telling me on the Only in New York podcast how you you were like having a fight with Amazon because you were trying to return a different pot than they gave you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think this is another Amazon story. Yeah. Real, like you see red, like you want everyone to die wrath.
Yeah.
Okay. So I made an Amazon Fresh order because I've been trying to order my groceries so I don't have to go out. Mm-hmm. And it was a big order and I was going to be set for like 2 weeks. And you know how hard it is to get a spot in delivery.
Impossible.
Almost impossible, right? So I was up at all hours of the night. I found this spot. I got it. And then I get an email the night before the delivery. And it says, I'm sorry, you've canceled your order. And I was like, I've canceled my order. So I started talking to an Amazon rep on chat. And I was like, hey, it says that I canceled my order. I didn't cancel my order. He's like, well, you must have canceled your order. And I'm like, no, I didn't. I didn't cancel my order. I was like, this is an emergency. He goes, if this is an emergency, please call 911. And I was like,
he's being a dick to you.
Yeah. So then I said to him, I said, you know, this is really unfair. I don't understand what's going on. I can't get another slot. And he goes, I suggest you take a nap. And then
what?
Try again. I go, take a nap. He goes, yes, take a nap or take a sleep.
What?
And then he's like, if you're still having problems, please call 911.
Dude, he must be getting, you know what happened? They probably fucked up. They canceled a bunch of orders and they're getting like reamed out by a bunch of people. And they're mad because it wasn't obviously him that did it. And he has to deal with the wrath.
Right. So, but he wasn't even giving me a straight answer. So then the next day I get an email saying, I'm sorry, we canceled your order. Here's a $20 credit. But it's like, I don't want a $20 credit.
No.
I wanted my $1,000 worth of groceries so I would never have to leave the house ever again.
Yep. Wow. Well, yeah, he was being a dick about it and made it so much worse.
Take a nap?
He told me to take a nap. Also, $20. Fucking
take a sleep.
Take a sleep. You take a sleep after I punch you in the face and you never wake up.
That's right. Call 911. Can you imagine 911? What's your emergency? My Amazon Fresh order got canceled.
And I think I'm going to puke.
Uh-huh. And I had Roma tomatoes in that order. And I don't know if you know, but I'm Italian.
That is so funny.
Yeah, that was definitely the maddest I've been in a long time.
Oh my God. Okay. When was the last time you were a sloth and like had a lazy day?
Okay, so on Easter, I was very upset. So I woke up and I took a hydroxyzine.
Okay.
Hydroxyzine. Do you know what this is?
What is that? Like hydrocodone?
No, it's almost like an antihistamine.
Okay.
And I don't like to take anything that's addictive. So my doctor prescribed these for me because I'm scared of everything. So it's like I have a 10 milligram dose of hydroxyzine, which is like
nothing.
I think that you could give a rabbit this dose. And
yeah,
they'd
like
be fine.
10 milligrams is nothing.
Right. But like mostly people take like 40 milligrams. So yeah. I took 10 milligrams and then I just slept all day long. Like I can't this is why I can't drink too. Like I would have a half of a Coors Light and people were like, hey, can someone call like her guardian or something and get her out of here?
I have a question for you because I feel like we're similar in this. We're both fun and loud, right? Do you agree?
Yes.
How do you deal with when you're fun and loud and you don't do cocaine and you don't like to drink and people get disappointed when they want you to be the party? Like, does that happen to you?
Well, I used to work in a restaurant, I'll tell you this.
Yeah.
And I remember I used to work a lot of lunch shifts and I had a lot of fun at this restaurant that I worked at. It was one of my favorite jobs in the whole world.
Which restaurant?
All of my friends worked. It was Famous Dave's.
Okay.
It was a barbecue restaurant in Long Island. And I had so much fun. It was just like, you know, when you have like the perfect staff.
Yes. The chemistry is right. Yeah.
Yes, it was just so much fun. And I used to come in the morning to like set up lunch shift. And I was like always like into it. Like I would have, I just loved it. And I remember my manager called me into the office. I was there for like maybe 5 months and he called me in and he was like, listen, whatever you do in the morning before you get here, he's like, is none of my business. He's like, but you can't be bringing this into the restaurant. And I was like, I don't know what that means. And he's like, okay, I'm going to say it again. He's like, look at me. He goes, whatever you do outside of work is fine. It's not my business. He's like, but you can't do it at work. And I was like, oh my God, you think I do cocaine? I'm like, I am okay. Like, no. I don't even do, I'm sober. I've been sober for like 12 years. Like I'm all the way sober. So then when I quit the job to get an office job, and we had like, you know, we used to go out after work and like drink and hang out. I mean, I didn't drink, but I hung out. And one of my other managers called me outside and was like, hey, can you get a bag? And I was like, a bag of what? And I was like, oh, you guys still think I do coke? I'm like, no.
That is so funny because people always think I'm drunk or high because I eat a lot and I giggle a lot and I'm crazy. Like, I'll be on Giggly same. Squad at night with Paige and people are like, I love when they drink. And I'm like, well, you're not drunk. But I like after my comedy shows, people come up to me and be like so excited. They're like, hey, come out with us. We got you. We have cocaine. Mm-hmm. And I have to look them in the eye and disappoint them of this image they've created of me and go, I want to go to bed. And they're like, what? And I feel so bad. And I like, I hate drink. I'm Italian. I want to eat. I don't care for alcohol, but like, I don't want to go full sober just because like, I feel like it's extreme to be like,
sure. I mean, listen, if you don't have a problem and it doesn't
bother
you.
I don't have a problem. But part of me thinks like, if I just said I'm sober, people would leave me alone more. Cause if I'm just like, I don't want to, people are like,
well, you just tell them you're pregnant.
Oh my God. You nailed it. You're right.
Yeah. Just always say I'm pregnant. I used to say like, I could be pregnant, ? Like, you never really know.
Yeah, you can't risk
it. When do you really know?
I mean, you were told by a psychic you were pregnant, and you're
right.
You're probably the Virgin Mary at this point.
Exactly.
This is a hard one. When was the last time you let your pride get in the way of something?
I think that I threw a tantrum recently. It was like probably like one of the last shows that I did. I did Wendy Starling and Christina Hutchinson's show, Glamour Puss.
Yeah, I've done that before too. It's so fun.
What a great show, right? So I was like, oh, I'm going to get this tape. I have to get this tape. I had to submit for something and I have to get this tape and I have to do these jokes and I have to get this tape. It's going to be amazing. So I set up, I brought my iPad. I mean, I went big. I brought my iPad on a freaking tripod and it was the tallest tripod in the land, right? I basically brought a camera crew with me to get this tape. And I did okay. But like, it wasn't that feeling of like, oh, I crushed.
Yeah.
Like I was like, all right, well, that wasn't the worst. Like I wouldn't not get rebooked. Like no one's going to say I bombed, but it wasn't the tape I wanted.
Yeah.
And I think like I lost my mind after that show. And I was like, I need this tape. I need this tape. You don't understand. I need this tape. And then I think that the pandemic coming was really like for me, because then everything got canceled. There's no more TV production. So the shows are not getting produced. Mm-hmm. Nothing's happening. So I'm like, thank you, God. That was for me, right? That's because I got upset about that tape.
Also,
right?
I feel like comics get like really mad when they just do okay.
Yeah, but I usually don't care.
Yeah.
It's just
you were obsessed with that tape. And it probably psyched you out how much it sucks, but like the way you do well is not caring. But you want to do well to care. So it's this bad thing. Also, I have this bad habit of like I will like two jokes won't hit and I'll be like I bombed. And people are like that's not bombing. And I'm like no, like those jokes I bombed. And they're like no, you'll know when you bomb. But I literally say
also like at the end of the day, if they're paying you the money, you didn't bomb.
You know, true. Like I'm literally out of control where I'll be so hard on myself that like two jokes won't hit and I'll say I bomb. So it's like it's all perspective. And yeah, the key is with tennis, I care too much. But I'm like, but if you don't care, then you suck. So it's really this like thin line of amount that and I think what I realize is care about the experience, like enjoying the experience, but don't care about the result, if that makes sense. Like care about like that the jokes you like really are in the moment with them and you're listening to the audience and you're like you're feeling yourself.
Right. I had people reach out to me after that show and they were like, hey, I saw you on Wendy's show. You were amazing. I saw you on Christina's show. And I was like, no, I wasn't amazing.
Dude, I've literally said I bombed and have DMs going like, oh my God, we thought you were the funniest. And I'm like, then I'm like, what reality is, what is this? What am I living in right now? I'm so mean. Yeah.
Or you think like you tape a really shitty podcast and you're like, should I even put this out? This is garbage. And then you put it out and people are like, oh my God, I'm obsessed with this episode.
Okay. This was my biggest advice when I first started. Like, you know, when you first start, you're just trying really hard, like on podcasts to be really funny all the time. Mm-hmm. And you're just always like, how do I make this line the funniest? How do I make the line? Then like one day I just didn't try. And I was doing this radio show and that's how I got like kind of my chops. And the co-host was like, you were amazing today. And I was like, I literally didn't try to be funny at all. And that's when I realized like,
Yeah. It has to come naturally.
Yeah, when you stop trying to be funny and you're yourself. That's what I was talking to Paige, who isn't in comedy, is doing Giggly Squad with me at night. And she was like, I feel pressure. We have to be funny every night. I go, I'm telling you, when you don't try to be funny.
When people enjoy you, they do. Because I know, because my co-host, Noelle, is my best friend. She's not a comic. Yeah. And our conversations are so funny. And she's like, yeah, but I'm not a comic. And I'm like, you don't have to be a comic.
It's the chemistry.
You are so funny. Yes.
Everyone is fucking funny in New York. Like, yeah. When I was growing up, I was not like, I'm the funny one. We'd all shit on each other. Like, my dad's the funniest person I ever met. Like,
yeah.
I'm just trying to exist within the, because New York, we're all fucking stressed. We're all,
we're all neurotic.
We're
That's
all
what
immigrants.
It is.
We're all immigrants who are fucking anxious because we all have traumatic genetics.
Right.
We're just
neurotic. We're neurotic people. And I think that is people do, like, even my Only in New York podcast, like, people just are like, oh, your accent is funny. And I'm like, well, first of all, I don't have an accent. I'm a classically trained actress, but
I'm a classically trained 90-day podcast host, you bitch.
I don't know if you know, but my ex-boyfriend went to Tisch. So thank you.
I don't ride the subway. I'm a classy bitch.
Exactly.
When was the last time you lusted over someone?
Oh, God.
Like, do you have a celebrity crush?
Oh, this is so embarrassing.
Tell me.
I have two. I have two. One of them I feel like is more obtainable than the other. Number one, Alec Baldwin.
Oh, my God. Have you met him in person before?
Yes, I have. So I had lunch with Alec Baldwin, and I'm going to explain that. It's not what it sounds like. So I bought an apartment, and my mom took me out to celebrate. She took me out to lunch. So we went to Olive's, the W Hotel.
Yes.
Okay. So we go there, and there's banquette seating, which means that there's a chair on one side, a bench on the other side. I sit on the bench side. Alec Baldwin and someone sit at the next table. So we're sharing a bench.
Yeah.
He's sitting next to me. And we're sat, like, basically at the same time. And I look at my mother with wide eyes. And she is mouthing to me, don't you dare, don't you dare. He's going to hit you. Because you remember Alec has, you know, some history of being a little bit aggressive.
But you do also, so.
Right. So I'm like, we could punch each other in the face. But see, at the time, Alec didn't know that I was famous.
Yeah.
So it was hard for him.
Yeah.
I understand that.
That would have been embarrassing for him to not.
I didn't say hello to him, but he was wearing, it was winter, very cold out. And he was wearing a white, like a Hanes t-shirt and a Burberry scarf. And he looked so hot.
What was he like? Were you listening in?
I don't know. I couldn't even like really eat. Like I went like numb.
That's like when you have to tell the person with you, like, I need to listen to everything happening on the
table
next to me.
Yeah, like, you need to stop talking to me, mom.
So, like, you can talk at me, but it's not happening. Like, you ever, like, get so invested in someone else's conversation? Yes.
He was having a business meeting with some guy, and I'm just, like, trying to listen, and I'm like, this restaurant is too loud. We can't meet here anymore.
But also, I'm proud of you being a classic New Yorker of, like, not even saying one thing to the celebrity sitting next to you.
No, and I used to catch him sometimes in the Hampton. I never said anything.
Yeah. He has nice eyes.
I was pretty... God, I love him so much. But I couldn't be the hilaria that, you know what I mean? Like, I couldn't be that for him.
You'd have to, like, do yoga all the time.
Well, first of all, she's popped out, like, 7 kids for him that look exactly the same. It has affected her body in no way.
Nope.
I can't be that for him, you know? So it's like, I'm glad that they found each other. I'm glad that
What do you like about him?
I just love his face. I've loved him. This is so creepy. I've loved him since Beetlejuice. Like, do you know what year Beetlejuice was? That was like, what, 1989?
Do you like older guys?
Yeah, I think I do.
Look at you. Who's your other one?
This is a little bit more embarrassing.
Okay.
A little bit less, you know, dreamy.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I should tell you, but no one's going to listen to this, right?
No.
Okay, cool.
I'm probably going to
delete it. Joey Fatone.
Oh, my God.
Who we have a very close mutual friend. We have a few mutual friends. And it's just been very hard for me.
Wait.
Because I have to pretend that I'm a normal person.
Wait, I'm obsessed with this. So when NSYNC was a thing, he was the one that you gravitated towards?
I didn't care. Listen, NSYNC was cool. I was a regular amount of fan of NSYNC. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it was cool. But, you know, everyone was like, Justin Timberlake. But I had a different relationship with Joey. Like, I thought that we were going to be together.
He was the relatable one. You could tell, like, he was probably the most fun to get a beer with. Also, I have a theory, like, not that you look like him, but you both have, like nice eyebrows and, like, puppy dog eyes. Thank and I you. Feel like you might, in his eyes, see, like, yourself, because, like, we're all kind of narcissists.
Yeah, I think I do, because I could totally see this, because
I'm obsessed
like a
with you two.
Thank you. Oh, can we be together? He's like a chubby Italian. I'm a chubby Italian. Like, I thought I was like, I'm definitely going to run into him in a pizzeria at some point in our lives. Like, we are going to cross paths.
I was always JC girl. Like, I was like, everyone liked Justin. I was like, JC is hotter and he's better at singing and he doesn't get the respect he deserves.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, at least it wasn't Chris Kirkpatrick that you just said. That's
no, I would never. I like
JC. All right. I mean, again, I need a little bit more of a man, like a manly man. Joey Fatone just seems like the regular guy that fell into a boy band.
Yes. He looks like someone pulled him off the street. Was like, can you just mouth some
and
shit?
He was like, yeah, whatever. That's fine. He
he's
looks
done like hosting
10
and
guys.
Stuff.
Well, so now he has the hosting. He used to do the Food Network stuff.
Yes.
And he's just, I don't know. I was following his marriage for a while. I was like, this is never gonna last.
Yeah.
And they ended up getting divorced, which, I mean, I don't want to say it was my fault, but, you know, I did put that energy out.
I feel.
And now I think he has a girlfriend and I'm like,
that's,
I don't know,
selfish of him. I do think I need to start looking at some of these like more niche former celebrities and try to see if I could get them on my podcast, because like he's someone I love on my podcast.
100%. All you have to do is ask. That is something that I have learned about just being in entertainment, being in anything. Like, it's not that hard. First of all, everyone's home right now.
Yeah, no one's doing shit.
Joey Fatone's not busy.
Joey Fatone doesn't have shit to do.
Just throwing it out there. I have reached out to celebrities in the past. In my life, I would watch a movie. This is like something crazy about me. I would watch a movie. And if it was like a small enough production, if I liked someone in the movie, I would just like email them. I would just like research enough. There was this one guy that I liked. He was in an indie film. I emailed the producer and he set us up and we started dating.
What?
Yeah. I was very young. I told him that I was 26 and I was 18.
I love how you think outside the box and you're driven and you don't give a fuck what people think.
Yeah. I mean, I was 18. He was like, I would never date a young girl. I was like, well, that's a good thing that I'm 26 then.
That's a good thing I'm 72. Thank God.
Yeah. And then we ran into each other years later and he asked me, he was doing something for HBO and I was like by the HBO building and he was like, how old are you now? I haven't seen you in forever. And I was like, oh my God, I'm 25. And he's like, that's so weird because you were 26 when we dated 10 years ago. And I was like, yeah, I was like, isn't that crazy?
How's his career going?
He's doing it.
Good for
he's
him.
He's still doing it. Yeah.
So I want to wrap this up with one final question I asked all my guests, which is, what do you do to cope with your hell? Like, what would you tell people who are going through hell right now on how to cope?
I do so many things to cope with my hell. I think therapy twice a week is definitely helpful. You could swim in the bathtub. That's what I do for most of my day.
Oh,
just
my
like
God.
Hours and hours and hours just sitting in the bathtub looking at Instagram.
Do you have any like certain like aromatherapies or candles when you do it, or is it just straight bathtub?
I switch out my bubble baths.
Bubble baths, okay.
I really do enjoy, I do the Target brand because I'm cheap, but the coconut Epsom salt.
Oh yeah, I heard that's nice.
Yeah, I take a little swim with that. I clean my house obsessively. Mm-hmm. You know, just make sure, you know, when I worked in the restaurant, they used to say if you can lean, you could clean, meaning like you should never not be busy. And I think that that's how I live my life.
I love that. And it makes you not only clean on with your skin, but also in your household. And we hope that everyone's staying safe and healthy and clean right now. Tracy, yeah. I'm so happy you came on. Where can people follow you? You said there's a documentary that dropped. Just give people the updates.
So there's a documentary that just dropped on Vice called My Life with Germophobia. You could check that out on all Vice's social media. Also, you could check me out. My social media is at Trixie Tuzzini, TRIXIETUZZINI on Instagram and Twitter. And you could go to TracyCarnazzo.com for all of my projects. I have a podcast called Only in New York with Andrea Allen and Hemda. I also have 90 Day Fiancé Trash Talk and Teen Mom Trash Talk. So if you guys watch any kind of garbage, you know, I'm your girl.
We didn't even touch on reality TV, which is hilarious, but you...
Oh, my God. Can we just go for a few more hours?
Yeah. You yourself are actually way more interesting.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. I love you so much. Thank you for coming to hell. Yeah. And I'll talk to you guys later. Bye. Bye.